This is Shannon Baker interviewing Nicole for the Salvation Army Pathway of Hope Oral History Project on October the 7th, 2019, and we are in the Salvation Army building in Roanoke. So, are you ready to begin?
Yes.
Okay. So, I guess first off, did you grow up in, like, the Roanoke area?
I grew up in Rocky Mount, like, Boone's Mill area.
Okay, so was it different? Do you think it's different from Roanoke?
It is. It's more, like, country, like, instead of city.
Okay. So what was it like growing up in this area?
I moved to Roanoke when I was 15, so I was homeschooled previously. So I went into public school when I moved to Roanoke, and that was a big change. Far from country life to city life.
So, was it a big change going from homeschool to more public school?
Oh, definitely. It was more, I mean, we did 4-H and stuff, but not, the social aspect was a lot different.
Okay. Do you want to kind of talk a little bit about how it might have been different?
Personally, I kind of graduated or gradual, like, went towards the wrong crowd, so I got into a lot of trouble when I moved to Roanoke because there wasn't anything to do in the country but play in the woods, so I was grounded a lot, so.
So did you have any, do you have any siblings that you were close to?
I do. I have a brother, an older brother. We're 14 months apart. We were really close growing up, but not so much now.
So when you went to this, when you started going to public school, did you enjoy the how different it was from being homeschooled?
I did. Maybe not. I kind of didn't like the authority part of it, but that was just a rebellious thing that I went through, but.
So did you have, like, a favorite subject that you like to learn about?
Probably English. Mm-hmm. Science.
Do you think that your teachers were kind of influential in your life, or did, or you said you didn't really like the authority, so?
I had a few teachers that, well, my math teacher actually was one of my favorite teachers. Not, like, personally influential, though, no.
Okay. So the school you went to, do you think it was like, a good school? Or I don't know particularly how good the Roanoke County schools were.
I went to Roanoke City schools. They're good schools. I dropped out when I was a senior. I had 3 months to go till I graduated. Yeah, but I did get my GED. But yeah, the schools, they were good.
Could you tell us a bit maybe why you might have dropped out?
It was a long time ago. I really don't remember. I think I moved to Floyd County with a guy, and that was, yeah, a relationship.
So what, I'm trying to think of my next question. So in your adult life, what do you, like, do, I guess, career-wise, maybe?
I work at a bowling alley. That's a lot of fun. Before that, I was a lunch lady in the cafeteria at a high school. I've cleaned houses. I've done in-home health care. I did that for 5 years.
Have you enjoyed what you've done?
Very much, yes.
So we saw your daughter when you came in. How old were you when you became a mother?
I with my first child, I was 18. Well, I had him when I was 19. So my oldest is 12 and my youngest is 3. I have 5 children.
So how has motherhood changed your life?
In every way possible. I mean, you know, you don't get to be... I was young when I got pregnant, so, you know, the social aspect, you know, I had to grow up pretty quickly. And then my relationship ended, so I was raising the baby by myself, so that was hard. And then throughout the years, I've had substance abuse issues, so that kind of hindered my parenting, you know. But I've been sober for 4 years.
Congrats. So you talked a little bit about the social aspect. Would you want to tell us a little bit more?
I mean, you don't get to just go out. You know, you have a kid. You got to stay home and be a mom. So I didn't really have much help. You know, I was doing it by myself. My family wasn't around, so I was kind of like place to place. So,
what would you say the hardest thing about being a young mother was? It is.
I mean, still is just doing it by myself. You know, I maintain my home. I maintain my vehicle. I have 5 children, you know, they're in different places. I only have custody of the little one. But, you know, it's hard financially, definitely.
So how did you come to find out about the Pathway of Hope program?
I was in a domestic violence situation. So I was at that turning point for 7 months. I was court ordered there because of my situation. And that was in 2015. So.
Okay. So you found out through it because you were court ordered?
No, I had a domestic violence situation. Oh, okay. So I was at the turning point, and then this is like the aftercare part of it.
So how did the program work for you?
It changed everything for me, you know. I mean, it gave me a safe haven to get my life back and get my children back. And, you know, I was court ordered there, so I couldn't, like, I had to get clean. And I had to get serious about what I wanted, you know, getting clean and, you know, finding a job and just being a normal citizen, I guess. So they just gave me that second chance to start over.
Do you consider it to be, like, an important help in your life?
It is the most important thing, yeah. I mean, I think without this program, I wouldn't... You know, I might not even be here, so honestly. Because it gave me that safety, you know.
So what exactly, I'm trying to think of how to word this. What exactly did it do to, like, give you that safety? What did you do with the program?
I mean, it was... It's, you know, it's fenced in, you know, like, your abuser can't, like, get to you, so, I was able to just stay safe, and then I was going through trauma therapy. I went through, what else, trauma therapy, substance abuse counseling, parenting classes. It just helped me kind of rebuild some of the stuff that I had, you know, the things that I had lost over the years.
Are you still in the program?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your next steps? Have they told you? Do you know that?
I think right now we're working on anger management and parenting skills. And then I have visitation with my 5-year-old daughter, so I'm able to bring her here on Wednesdays, and they have a youth program that my children are involved in, so just kind of maintaining my sobriety and hopefully getting me a new vehicle and getting me financially able to move to a bigger place so I can have my children back under the same roof.
So it also helps your children too, this program. So the youth program, is there any other way that they can help your kids?
I mean, they help me with rides, like appointments. We assist with court hearings and doctor's appointments. If I need a ride for something, you know.
So you've mentioned that you're working at a bowling alley now.
Yeah.
Do you think that your work at the Pathway of Hope program has helped you to get into a current career, or do you think that was just...
That was actually just kind of a fluke kind of thing. You know, I know somebody who bowls there, and the lady was needing help, and they kind of just dropped my name, so that was not really associated with Pathways, but...
Okay. How long has this been? Okay. So you also mentioned that they're helping you with more anger management. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
I think I've always been... I think that probably stems from my childhood. You know, my parents divorced, and a lot of things happened in my childhood, and I just grew up. I always felt, you know, rejected and abandoned, so I was just angry at a lot of things. And then that probably introduced the my addiction, so. Just trying, and then, like with my children, you know, raising kids is hard. Especially by yourself, so, you know, just healthy ways to interact, you know, and discipline. But really just getting control of my emotions and how to take a step back and not react in a split second, you know, and make a choice that I would regret.
You talked a little bit about, like, your childhood with your parents being divorced. Do you want to, like, kind of tell us a little bit about how things might have been characterized? Like, a little bit more about just what it was like growing up like that?
I think I was probably maybe 7 or 8. Around there, my dad left, and my mom didn't take it too well. She just kind of, like, she was really religious, so she was always at church, and she would leave us by ourselves, and we were homeschooled, so we would have, like, schoolwork and chores to do, and she would just be gone. So it was really just me and my brother, you know, by ourselves, like, pretty much every day. And then... I think me and my mother didn't get along, so I eventually moved to Roanoke with my dad, and that wasn't a good situation either because my dad's an alcoholic, so it's just kind of like a lesser of two evils, I guess, so.
So, you said your mother had been religious. Would you consider yourself to be kind of religious?
I mean, I am. I am. I have my faith, and I believe, you know, that God is why I'm here, you know? I've been through a lot, and I mean, there's a lot of reasons I shouldn't be here, so. I mean, I believe God is the reason I'm here, and my mother has prayed over me, so. I do believe that.
I'm sorry, I'm bad at wording questions. So, like, just kind of looking back over your life with your kind of experience with your faith, do you think that God has been, like, present in your life then?
Definitely. I mean, I grew up in church. Well, my dad was Jehovah's Witness and my mother was Christian, so they would, like, fight over who was taking me to what place, you know, so that was crazy to grow up in. So I would be at church half the time and then at the Kingdom Hall the other half of the time, so, and then they would argue over their, you know, I'm right, and they would, you know, argue their aspect of things, so.
Growing up with a Jehovah's Witness or a father must have been interesting.
Very. I mean, I don't know about interesting, but I don't agree with any of that, so.
Would you want to talk a little bit more about, like, what it was like, I guess?
I mean, like I said, they always argued about their different religion, you know, their aspects. I don't really remember much about the Jehovah's Witness part of it, because my dad left eventually when I was young, so I just continued to go to church. Until now, I have been going to church until the past few months because I'm having vehicle issues, but growing up, I don't really remember.
So, when you moved to Roanoke as a teenager, what were some of, like, the biggest changes that you saw in your life?
I lost a lot of weight. I mean, because I was walking back and forth to school, and I was in the home with my brother and my dad and his wife, so that was a change, because before it was just me and my mom and my brother, so it was hard to get used to. Well, I think I also resented my dad for leaving, so when he would try to be authoritative towards me, you know, and give me rules, I was like, no. So, I think that's probably where the rebellious part came in, you know. I resented my dad, and I just didn't respect him, so.
Would you want to tell us a little bit more about, like, your like, problems with authority, I guess, when you were younger?
I think a lot of it, like I said, comes from my resentment towards my parents. I resented both of my parents because, you know, my dad left and then mom was not present, so I just felt abandoned, I guess. I'm sorry, what's the question?
I guess just, like, a better way to word it would be, how do you think your issues with authority figures might have, like, impacted your life?
Well, it started with my parents, and then as I got, you know, into drugs and situations, it became, you know, the police and that kind of thing. So, and now I'm still, like, struggling with authority because I'm having, you know, I have court situations for my custody of my children, and I'm having to do what the judge says, and I feel discredited because of the progress that I have made. I don't feel like is highlighted or recognized. So, you know, I guess I'm still a little jaded by that. So,
do you want to talk a little bit more about how you feel about your progress, I guess?
I mean, I've lost, I have 5 children and I have custody of 1, so, I mean, I've lost all of my children due to substance abuse, and now, you know, I have a job, I maintain my home and my vehicle, and I am a present parent, you know, I have my son on the weekends, I have visitation with my daughter, and I have the baby full time. My sobriety is a big thing. I get off probation in January. I've been on probation for 3 years for a possession charge. It's to look back from where I was to where I am now, it doesn't even feel like, I don't feel like the same person. You know, I just can't even understand why I made the choices I made back then, because I wouldn't do it now. So, I mean, I'm really proud of myself.
So, would you want to tell us a little bit about how you kind of managed to get to the, like, how you got, words aren't coming to me right now.
To where I'm at now, my progress.
Yeah, how you managed to get there?
I think it all started, you know, with, I mean, I was in that domestic violence situation with my daughter's father, and I just had enough, I guess, and I left, and I went to the shelter. And then he's incarcerated. He got 27 years. And, you know, I had 11 years over my head. And they gave me 3 years probation. That was a blessing. And I guess it started from Turning Point. I mean, that was my second chance. And then also being on probation, it's held me accountable. So, you know, this program, you know, Jamie, she's really interactive with me. You know, she knows more about me than my parents, honestly. So
Jamie's just really been a force for good in your life?
Yeah. She's been a guiding light.
Would you want to tell us about your history with addiction?
I don't even know how old I was. I guess it started with, I was like 12 or 13. I just was smoking weed because I thought it was cool, I guess. And, you know, I started drinking a lot because my dad was an alcoholic, so I saw it a lot. So I guess I kind of fell into drinking a lot, and then I think I've tried everything, you know. I was addicted for a long time to, like, the hard drugs, and I've been clean for 4 years. Um, It was about 10 years. I would get clean and then fall back into it, you know. And I think losing my children was kind of like, kind of propelled it. Because, I mean, that's a loss. So I guess I was covering up my feelings and in an unhealthy way. Now Jamie's helped me kind of talk things out or write it down or, you know, do it in a healthier way.
So you like to talk things out and write things down to work through things?
Yeah.
Are there any
instead of reacting, yeah. I just...
Are there any other ways you like to try to work through things?
I've learned to crochet. I don't know, I just like to stay busy. I love my job. I mean, I take extra shifts. I just work. And it's a really boost of confidence, you know? Because before, I didn't care about a job, you know, so...
So, would you want to tell us a little bit about losing custody of your kids?
Let's see. I had my oldest when I was 19, and then I guess he was 3 when I lost custody of him to his grandmother. Has had him since he was 3, and he's 12 now. Then I had another daughter. She was born with drugs in her system, and she was in the NICU for a week. And I had a spinal fluid leak, so I had a spinal migraine, so I wasn't able to see her while she was in the NICU. I guess I was doing cocaine a lot. So I got her taken for that. And then I went to 30-day residential treatment. And a family had her that I went to school with their daughter, and they had her. And they ended up adopting her. What's next? Then I had a son. And then another daughter. I had them until 4 years ago in this recent situation, my recent charges. And I lost both of them in 2015. So, and then I since had the baby. I had the baby while I was at a turning point.
How did you feel when you lost custody of your children?
I was ashamed, and I think I just used more to cover it up, so I kind of just kept it going, and then I would have another baby and get clean and then start using again. And I mean, it all has to do with your surroundings, so I wasn't around the best people, so, you know. I guess I struggled with, you know, I felt abandoned since I was young, so I just always wanted to be included and accepted, so I just, that's, drugs were my go-to.
Do you think, I'm just checking the time, do you think that since you've made all this progress, you've found a place where you might feel a little more included and accepted?
I mean, my job, I love the people I work with. You know, I actually have family members who work there, so that I didn't know worked there because I didn't attend family functions because I was always off doing my own thing. So when I got this job, I didn't know my uncle and his wife worked there. So, you know, that is it's a nice fit. So I love my job and I love everyone here at the Salvation Army. So, and my family, you know, me and my mom have gotten really close. So
you've managed to reconnect with some of your family members?
Yeah, and my dad as well. You know, me and my dad went, I think, 4 or 5 years without speaking. And then, you know, he's recently gone through treatment as well. So he's trying to stay clean. So I think we go to meetings together and AA meetings together and stuff. So, and then I go to church with my mom in Rocky Mount. So I'm kind of slowly rebuilding.
So with that, like, reconnection with your family, are you happy to have that back in your life?
Yeah, I didn't think I would ever, you know, have that. And at one point, I didn't want it back, you know, because I had so much resentment and anger, so. But, you know, I am imperfect just like they are, so now that I have children of my own, I see how, you know, life hits you and you do things and you just do what you can in the moment, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying my best to keep, to not let my kids see me struggle. And, you know, I don't blame my parents, you know, because they did the best they could. So, once I forgave them, and I guess they forgave me too. So
you've been kind of learning how to forgive, I guess?
Yeah. Forgiving myself is the hardest thing because my kids don't deserve the situations that they're in. Their home lives are, you know, and they're in these situations that they're in because of choices that I made, and I was selfish and didn't put them first, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was young, so, you know, I didn't know. If I knew then what I know now, you know.
Well, if you did know then what you know now, what would you go back and tell yourself?
Don't do drugs. Family is really important. You know, hold on to your family and just believe in myself more. Because I discredit myself more than anybody. I criticize myself. So, just really kind of embrace who I am.
So, like, looking back on all the stuff we've talked about, do you think that there's anything we didn't really talk about that you'd like to talk about?
I don't think so.
Well, I guess my last question for you would be, so, with the Pathway of Hope program, what would you tell anyone who was thinking about trying to get into this program?
Don't hesitate. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and it really, honestly, has saved my life. So, I mean, they genuinely care about people, and I mean, it has just changed everything about my life. And I would just really encourage them to just get the information.
Anything else you want to add? No? You think we're good? All right. I'm going to end the recording now.